fear no one. Jesus said to the 12, fear no one. It strikes me as I reflect on it that the increase in our faith means a decrease in our fear, doesn't it? I think of the faith that I had in my earthly father in my growing up time before I really fully appreciated what it meant to have a heavenly father. But I grew up in a lower middle class neighborhood, oldest of nine children. We had a house that was able to hold all of us, barely. But there weren't any locks on the doors. That was kind of typical for growing up in the 50s, I think. Houses weren't locked. And I remember feeling a little bit uneasy a couple of different times, but then thinking, no, anybody breaks into our house has to get past Dad. And nothing is going to come harmfully to us because he's there. That faith in him. And not just him, my mother as well. And I guess I've come to appreciate more than ever what it means to be a parent. Now, families were larger back then. I mentioned my mother delivered eight children, the last four with great difficulty. And then when my youngest sib reached 5 years old, well, they took in a disabled child as a ninth in their family. And yet, all of the different things that were expected of the parents with a large family, in some ways, I think, fall short of what parents today have to go through. And to some degree, grandparents. I don't know how we would have handled the lockdown. I mean, truly, all the kids... My mother was always so happy to get us off to school each morning and have a few hours where she didn't have to deal with us if we were there 24/7. And the great challenge that it's out there for parents to not only provide the love and the nurturing that naturally comes with that, but maybe also to serve as a homeschool teacher and to keep them up with the program and to keep their minds occupied and to somehow control the restlessness. Not being a pastor any longer, not having the number of counseling cases I used to, I still suspect that there is some domestic tension out there in many homes. But God bless them. God bless all of you that take on that extraordinary role. And you know, when you think about the role of parents, I think we also have to remember that so much of that is imparting to their children a great worth. See, Matthew captures this in Jesus' words. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a small coin, yet not one of them falls to the ground without your father's knowledge? Even all the hairs of your head are counted. So do not be afraid, you are worth more than many sparrows. And we do have great worth. And hopefully we feel a real increase in our appreciation for everyone else's worth. We're in this pandemic together. Who'd have thunk that we'd have ever had something like this to go through? And for those that are younger and look to live for some future generations, people will look back, I think, on 2020 and what we went through during that particular time. And I think, in a way, we as Christians, Catholic Christians, are able to project to the population as a whole a confidence, a faith that recognizes that even in these dire circumstances, that God will give us the grace, he will be with us. He will, as the passage from Jeremiah suggests, he will be our mighty champion. And so we try to exhibit to other people, certainly to our descendants, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, but also to others that we come in contact with, people that live in our neighborhoods, people that we work with, people that we socialize with. We try to give, impart anyway, a sense of inner confidence, a faith that things will work out, and of course our ultimate understanding that all's well that ends well, that we all know that we have a great world to go home to. But I also think that these are times for us to step forward and to exhibit real selfless behavior. See, in many ways, the whole issue with the masks, you know, that's right in our wheelhouse when you think about it. That the fact that we not only care that we treat others the way we want, would want them to treat us, but we're called to be selfless, other-focused. And that's, of course, what happens when we wear our mask. It doesn't protect us from anyone else, but it protects them from us. And I think that's the kind of concern and consideration we want to show to people. An example where our faith shrinks our fear and hopefully maybe calms those who associate with us. But of course, there's another extraordinary thing that's going on in our country and our world today. And in a way, Jeremiah gives us an intro into that. I hear the whisperings of many, terror on every side, denounce, let us denounce him. All those who are my friends are on the watch for any misstep of mine. But the Lord is with me like a mighty champion. I've been reflecting on my growing up and the impact of my parents. But one of the areas where I was so blessed was in the area of respect for human beings, especially for people, African-Americans. We called them Negroes back when I was growing up. But my dad and mother both had a great sensitivity about the issue of mistreatment and prejudice. And there's no question at all. I can remember reading books during that time and watching movies and how my dad could be so moved by a scene of discrimination or severe persecution. And he would have to leave the room. He couldn't watch it, or a tear would run down his face. He was very sensitive to that. And so I developed a real interest, probably more than any other social issue. It was civil rights for me. Again, growing up in the 50s, interestingly enough, what drew me to reading about the Freedom Riders and those who had showed such courage, especially in the southern U.S., was at 8 years old, I discovered the Detroit Tigers. And my step-grandfather taught me about it, but also told me, besides listening to the games, I could read stories about it in the newspaper. And of course, when you're reading the sports page, before you get to that usually, or at least immediately after, you've got the front page with all the headlines that are going on. So I gotta say that I, maybe more than many, but certainly I share with many of you, a great joy in seeing our world come together. We, of course, appreciate and need the police, but at the same time, we know what would be fair for us, and we want that fairness to extend to everyone. And for me to look on TV after following many decades of civil rights activity, to see not only people of all races and genders, but of every generation marching together with very limited violence. In the beginning there was some, but for the most part it's peaceable. And to be able to support what is really a global move to elevate all human beings to equal status. And we know that our Heavenly Father wants that. And in the case of my earthly father, who at 93 is still alive, God bless him, he loves to reflect on just the very things that I'm sharing with you today. So as I mentioned, this suits us. This is what we're all about as a people of faith. And as we grow in faith, as we help others to grow in faith, what we're going to find is that that fear diminishes. That we'll have the opportunity in decades and generations to come to look back with a degree of satisfaction that we turned a corner for this country and for all of humanity. So I thank, even as I'm thanking my own earthly father, and will have the opportunity to do so in person later today. My mother, of course, is on the other side of life. But, you know, as we look at the role of our parents and we look at how that example of our parents gives us such a clarity about our Heavenly Father, then we can recognize the blessing that this is. I don't have a Mother McCree type song to sing to the fathers, but I wish them a great day. And to all of our parents out there, God bless you and thank you.